This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, September 12, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the poetry assassination of Kenneth Koch. One day in 1968, the late Kenneth Koch came downtown to St. Mark's in the Bowery in New York City's East Village to give a reading. Koch was a New York school poet, pals with Frank O'Hara and John Ashbery. He was also a professor uptown at Columbia. He was already well-known, and that may have had something to do with the weird thing that happened the night of his reading. It was the 1960s, and a lot of weird stuff was happening. Poet Ron Padgett was in the audience that night, and he revisited St. Mark's to retell the story, which was produced by Pike Malinowski.
January 10th, 1968, Kenneth Koch giving a solo reading at the Poetry Project, St. Mark's Church in the Bowery, in the big main sanctuary. I remember it quite well. I was sitting in the first pew right here. At that time, the church had pews in it. They've been removed since then. And Kenneth was introduced, I think, by Ann Waldman. And he began to read. I think it was his first poem.
This is just a little poem I wrote when I was thinking about this reading. It's called To My Audience. My audience of camel dung and fig Newtons. My audience of hats. And how shall I address my audience of New York green frock bats?
There was a pretty good crowd that night, as I recall. Kenneth was a very popular poet, and he had a big following in the Lower East Side area among all the young poets and art lovers around here.
Are you sure there is an audience? I won't go in if there's no audience. He feeds bats to the indifferent citizens. These are good, but those others are poison. Did you know there are different kinds of bats?
After a brief period, suddenly behind him to his left, a door opened, and a young man came through the door. Quite tall, about 6'3", wearing a kind of a ragged, beat-up Dostoevskian overcoat, and with kind of a crazed look on his face.
One bat, the blue bat, is poison. Another bat, the yellow bat, is worth its weight in gold.
And as he approached Kenneth, he extended his right arm.
Morpheus sleeps. Mercury or Murphy.
And fired several shots at point-blank range, virtually, at Kenneth. On the recording of that evening, there's just after the shots are fired, there's a sort of a thump. And I don't recall what that was. It might have been my heart. Actually, I don't think so. No, it might have been Kenneth sort of grabbing the podium or something. I had an instinctive reaction. I ducked down to my right. I looked back up, and all I know is I got a big adrenaline rush. And it was followed by a huge rush of relief when I saw that Kenneth had not, in fact, been shot.
That was a benefit shooting.
Kenneth recovered very, very quickly and verbally took control of the situation by turning it into a comic event. And when he says that was a benefit shooting, that actually referred to, I think, the fact that here at St. Mark's Church, the Poetry Project had a number of benefit readings in which the money was given to all kinds of radical political causes, the Black Panthers and the Catonsville Nine and on and on and on. And Kenneth was well aware of benefit readings, so he immediately dug himself out verbally.
Well, now, I don't want the congregation to get upset by these hijinks. These young people have a very fine cause that they're working for, and
the, quote, shooter was actually an anarchist and radical poet named Alan Van Newkirk. This young man then continued down the center aisle toward the front of the church, the exit, while from the back, a colleague of his was handing out some kind of printed leaflets, radical publications under the imprint of Guerrilla Press or Guerrilla News or something.
Guerrilla. G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A.
I learned later that the colleague of the shooter in the back was a poet, a fairly recent Romanian emigre named Andrei Codrescu. He had a Transylvanian accent, so it was compelling.
Well, I emigrated from Transylvania to Detroit, I didn't speak any English, and so when I got to Detroit, I fell in with a group of writers and political activists against the Vietnam War. There were a number of people hanging out there, and one of them was Alan Van Newkirk.
Van Newkirk was a little bit more elusive and fugitive kind of guy, who had a kind of a reputation for being scary, whereas Andre did not have a reputation for being scary.
It was set up so that Alan would go up to Kenneth with a fake pistol and shout, "Death to bourgeois poetry," and then the two or three of us were going to throw newspapers in the air, and then the people would, of course, pick them up and read our manifestos and go ahead and commit world revolution. Except it didn't quite work out that way.
This seems to be Leroy. Now, I don't think that the judge should have put Leroy in jail because he wrote a poem.
Leroy Jones was either put in jail or was charged with some sort of offense. To be honest with you, I can't remember what it was. There was a lot of suspicion at the time that some police activities were motivated by political reasons and not so much by legal ones.
And if that's the point that these people wanted to make, they could have made it in a better way, it seems to me.
Alan and folks around who are half politicals and half artists were talking constantly about American poetry, so about which I knew nothing at the time, but I was sort of learning who to read and how to read.
Well, it's odd that he picked on Kenneth Coke. I think he maybe just needed somebody to make a statement at that point. But Kenneth Coke was not a mainstream poet at the time at all.
There was a kind of a mildly amusing and not wholly serious distinction between the uptown poets and the downtown poets. The downtown poets all thought they were some kind of political radicals and revolutionaries, and the uptown poets were certainly dressed better and had more money, and so.
So why don't you stop interrupting the reading? Scram.
I was just sort of following the party line of Alan Van Newkirk, who sort of declared Kenneth a bourgeois poet at that time. But then, of course, when I read Kenneth's poems, I felt a lot more kinship to Kenneth's poetry than I did to that of Alan, So if there was a choice between shooting somebody, I think Alan would have been the more likely candidate for me.
Oh, you use the lift, it's a realist candidate. Not. Get out of here. Fuck you.
Get out.
Revolution.
Grow up. Revolution.
And Kenneth went ahead and just picked up with the poem and read it absolutely marvelously, as if nothing had happened. It was quite wonderful. And later, years later, I put that together with the fact that Kenneth had been a rifleman serving in the American Army in the Second World War in the Philippines, and he actually saw combat there where real people were shooting at him and really trying to kill him. So I guess he was a little bit more used to the sound of gunfire and the idea of being shot than most of us were.
I never should have said my audience of camel dung, I guess. Well...
Mike Malinowski produced that story. He got the idea for it from Daniel Kane, whose book about the poetry scene in the 1960s on the Lower East Side, All Poets Welcome, includes an account of that incident and a CD with a recording of it. Thanks also to Karen Koch and Anselm Barragan. You can read some of Kenneth Koch's poetry on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also find thousands of poems in our poetry archive, read feature articles, and keep up on poetry news. Do let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
Death to bourgeois poetry.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox.